This is Audible.
Dove Audio presents The Art and Skill of Conversation by Edward L. Fritch and Nathan P. Rosenblatt, read by the authors.
It takes only a slight edge to be the person who's in front of the pack. In baseball, for instance, the 200 hitter is a minor leaguer, and the 300 hitter makes the big bucks in the major leagues. And the only thing that separates them is one little hit out of every 10 tries. In many cases, and some would argue in most cases, the difference doesn't really have anything to do with talent. The key is in technique. Some 200 hitters could be better, but they just won't exercise bat control. They won't cut down on their swings or choke up on their bats. They just won't do the right thing at the right time in the right way. And you can say the same about some of our conversations that go wrong. Let's listen.
Shall we do it at your place or mine?
Don't get cute with me, George.
What are you talking about?
Your place or mine? That's insulting and sexist.
Hey, come on. All I meant was, do you want to have the budget meeting in your office or mine?
Well, why don't you just say what you mean in the first place and think about what you're saying?
We've all been misunderstood, misled, misquoted, and misinterpreted in our business and personal lives. And many of these types of miscommunication represent lost opportunities, damaged relationships, discarded ideas, or results that you never intended to happen. What this course is going to do is develop your innate ability to become an expert communicator who can get an idea across to a boss, subordinate, friend or colleague, business or social acquaintance, a perfect stranger or prospective client, even members of your own family. I make my living by communicating, and I know that the techniques disclosed here will work magic for you. I can tell you from experience that virtually anyone who wants to can not only improve, but can become the someone who everybody else wants to talk to. As you progress through this remarkably effective program, you'll see for yourself that by following a few simple principles, you can hold your own in any situation. I've seen the light bulb switch on with engineers who thought good morning was a speech. I've seen managers get more productivity from employees. Husbands and wives communicate better. People from every walk of life perform better at everything they do. You can, too, if you listen carefully to these tapes and do your workbook exercises. Here's what's ahead for you as you learn the art and skill of conversation. Number one, you'll learn that one of the great conversational skills is listening. Inevitably, good listeners are considered terrific conversationalists. Many people equate silence with listening, but nothing could be further from the truth. Listening requires thinking, body language, and feelings. Silence is nothing more than keeping your mouth shut. I'm telling you in advance that if you do nothing more than learn to listen actively, people will start to comment on what a terrific conversationalist you are. And I can't wait for you to find out for yourself. Number two, you'll learn how to use questions to keep conversations flowing. Questions show others that you care about what they're saying, and they help make it easy for others to respond to you. Not surprisingly, the best questioners are the best listeners because they pick up conversational clues that most people miss. Number three, you'll acquire surefire methods for persuasion, motivation, negotiation, and building solid relationships by learning how to apply six critical steps that make communication and conversation pay off big for you in your personal and business life. You'll also be given some quick starts, proven conversational starters that can make you the hit of any gathering, social, or business. In fact, because these quick starts are so much fun, let's go out of sequence and do one right now. This first quick start works because most people love to talk, and what they most love to talk about is themselves. It also works because we're all different and bring all sorts of viewpoints to a discussion. Okay, here it is. It's a version of the old what-if game. Remember as a child, what if I had $1 million or what if I could fly like Superman? Rather than tell you what the first quick start is, I'll let you figure it out for yourself. Let's listen as Jane works this quick start in. She's with a group of people she really wants to impress. Jane is listening to Sue and Jack talk, waiting for just the right moment. Let's see how she does.
That's a great idea.
I thought so, too. If we just take about a quarter inch off the edge, we can probably save thousands of dollars in paper.
And that's not all. That quarter inch difference lets us go to a smaller press, so the printing won't cost as much either.
This is great. Any other ideas while we're on a roll? How about you, Jane?
If there were only four ways to make a living, which would you choose? Would you be an entertainer, a social worker, an administrator, or a scientist?
What did you say?
If there were only four ways to make a living, Jack, shouldn't we say hello to Douglas and Mary? Excuse us, Jane.
I think I'll join you. Come on, Fran. I haven't seen Doug in months.
So much for taking things out of sequence. Jane missed the most important part of joining in the conversation. She was so busy concentrating on what she wanted to say, in this case her quick start, that she didn't listen to what was going on. Whether she meant to or not, Jane showed that she wasn't concerned about what anyone else was saying, and she was repaid in kind. This is my way of suggesting strongly that you follow this program in sequence to get the most out of it. Don't jump around, no matter how much you may want to peek ahead. Keep Jane's quick start in mind. We'll come back to it later and show you how well it works when used properly. But first, let's see how well you listen. Did that get your attention? It sure got mine, and I instantly became more alert. Some sounds get our immediate attention, while others are screened out. We hear a baby cry, a scream, a cry for help, the boss telling us there'll be a layoff in 30 days. We listen better to some sounds than to others. But we can train ourselves to listen to everything. And when we do, we'll be better conversationalists. We'll be better leaders. In his book, Thriving on Chaos, Tom Peters has this to say about listening. Become a compulsive listener. Today's successful leaders will work diligently to engage others in their cause. Oddly enough, the best way by far to engage others is by listening, seriously listening to them. If talking and giving orders was the administrative model of the last 50 years, listening to lots of people near the action is the model of the 80s and beyond. You'll hear me say this a lot. Good listening habits are critical to your conversational success. Listen for a moment to this manager offering some ideas about conducting workshops.
Ann, John, you two will be conducting the next workshop. I think it's March 18th on our corporate disability benefits. Since we expect the participants to complete a few exercises, it's important that you establish a good learning climate for them. They have to take your message back to their departments and be able to answer any questions about the benefits. The first few minutes of any workshop are really important, so we'll need to make the introductory comments interesting and relevant, and no more than 7 minutes. And since there are 53 people in the workshop, one of you, whoever's not presenting, should be checking the body language of the group. You'll be able to tell if they're with you or not. I want each participant to be personally greeted by you. People react well to a handshake and a smile. Be sure the room is comfortable and everyone knows where the various facilities are. Be sure you announce the times for break and lunch. I have to warn you, a lot of the people who will be attending don't want to be here. In fact, I heard the marketing department almost had hand-to-hand combat over which supervisor had to attend. Look, it's 10:30, and I have to meet with Ted Koch on our fiscal year budget. John, Ann, we need to meet again to review our objectives for the meeting. Can you both meet me here at, say, 2 p.m. this afternoon?
That was a fairly typical set of instructions. Did you manage to listen to them? Let's see what you remember. What are the names of the people who will be conducting the workshop? What is the subject matter of the workshop? What are the workshop participants expected to do when they return to their departments? How many people will be in the workshop? What do people react well to, according to the speaker? How long will the introduction be? Which department had a fight over who had to attend? Who was the speaker leaving to meet? How did you do? If you're like many people, you missed a few completely. If you're like most, you may have missed as many as half of the 8 questions. If you had them all right, you have the ability to become an outstanding conversationalist quickly. In fact, anyone can become a good conversationalist who's willing to learn to listen. The difference between taking this program and just reading a book about conversation is that you're going to get a chance to practice the skill with these tapes. And then you'll hear, not read, but hear, examples of how good listening not only builds conversation, but lets you pick up things that most people miss. Most people say they don't remember things. They have a poor memory. Names escape them, and so on. The truth is they simply don't concentrate on their listening. Ideally, you should have a pen and paper on hand when listening to anyone, but that's not always realistic. So the key is to develop the mental discipline of concentrated listening. During your initial practice, focus only on facts. When you can remember things like names and places, you can then practice concentrating on thoughts and ideas. Here's a short practice exercise. This time I warn you, so concentrate. Focus on the information.
Good morning. It's Friday, March 18. I'm Amy Scott. It's 47 degrees, and we're under partly cloudy skies here on Robertson Mall. In the news at this hour, the district attorney's office will ask a family court judge to reconsider dropping charges against 2 12-year-old youths accused of shooting at trucks on Interstate 86. A man from northern Pennsylvania has been accused of attempting to purchase automatic weapons for illegal sale abroad. A South Pittsburgh woman is being held on bail for the attempted kidnap of an 8-month-old baby. And in the continuing trial of 4 men who ran a burglary ring in the Clifton Hills section of the city, the defense will resume cross-examination of the prosecution's key witness.
That's a lot of information in just about 40 seconds. Let's see what you can recall after concentrated listening. What day of the week is it? What is the announcer's name? What is the temperature? What is the first news story about? How about the second? How about the third? If you don't remember anything, try again. But before you listen again, keep these key words in mind. Day, announcer, temperature, first, second, third story. Rewind the tape and try it again right now. How did you do? Did you remember Amy Scott's name, or that it's the 18th of March and that the temperature is 47 degrees? What about the 3 stories? Try to repeat this exercise by listening to a television or radio newscast for a minute, or listen to an ad and see how much you can recall. Just remember, it takes lots of concentration and practice to become good at it. First, listen for facts. Then, go for the broader concepts. Norbert Wiener, author of the book The Human Use of Human Beings, describes communication this way. Speech is a joint game between the talker and the listener against the forces of confusion. Unless both make the effort, interpersonal communication is quite hopeless. Now, keep that quote in mind as you listen to this conversation between Ron, a job applicant, and Mr. Watson, the prospective employer.
Mr. Watson, I really appreciate the chance to interview here. Oh, and like you said, it only took 45 minutes to get here. I couldn't believe it.
That's nice, Ron, but let's get on with our business. As you know, we're looking for an administrative marketing manager. This position reports directly to the vice president of marketing. And reporting to the administrative marketing manager are the 5-person market research staff, a secretary, and administrative assistants.
Let me tell you my work history. My business experiences are full of challenging assignments. As you know, I'm currently working for Chemical Industries Incorporated, and my title is assistant marketing manager. I really think I've outgrown my job. It's not so
your background is important, Ron, but first, let me tell you about Calumet Chemicals to be sure you understand what we have to offer. Then we can explore your education, your work experience.
Well, I'm bored with my job now. After the first 3 months of the job, I had it mastered. These last few years just haven't been very challenging. The VP was out of town a lot, so I made most of the decisions. I had to cover for him a lot.
Yes. Well, right now, I'd like to ask you some questions about your education. Where did you go to?
Oh, I graduated from the University of Iowa and then went to Purdue for my master's. You know, Purdue has a great reputation for chemical engineering. And that school helped make me a mover. I get things done. And even though my title doesn't reflect it, I can do it all, Mr. Watson.
Our time is limited, so let's talk about your work experience. I see you worked for Monaco Corporation. Tell me about your work as regional support coordinator.
What an experience. I spend most of my time traveling around the country working with distributors, introducing what I thought were rather clever promotional campaigns. I enjoyed the work, but it was only a short-term step to bigger and better things.
Who did you report to?
Oh, right to the top, the general manager of the division. They all looked to me to come up with the creative ideas, but I was bored to tears. I think I wasted my talent there. In retrospect, I think I stayed only because I was flattered to be reporting directly to the general manager.
Focus on your accomplishments. What are you proudest of?
Boy, that's a tough question, because I've done it all. I designed a performance review system that was great, really unique. Every time I think about it, I think it was a stroke of genius.
How was it received?
Would you believe by the end of the second year, no one was using it? They turned something special into zip. They never understood when they had a good thing.
Ron also didn't understand the relationship between interviewee and interviewer. This wasn't a social conversation, and it was up to him to take the lead from Mr. Watson, not the other way around. Ron didn't seem interested in what Mr. Watson was saying. He was interested only in what he wanted to say. There are many, many conversational clues we miss by not listening well. Listen carefully to this conversation. What's really going on?
I don't know what I'm going to do about my wardrobe. None of these colors seems to match my skin tone now. Even my lipstick doesn't work. Do you see how dark I am?
Oh, I think your clothes are lovely. Well, maybe you should consider stripes to fill you out a bit.
No, it's the colors I'm worried about. My new tan almost seems to clash with them. What colors would go best with this tan? I've never had a tan at this time of year.
Oh, tans come and go. I don't think you should build a wardrobe around how tan you are.
I don't care if I have to go to a tanning salon to keep the tan. I love the way it looks, and I need clothes to complement it. Do you have any ideas or not?
Barbara really wanted Pam to ask her where she got the tan, or tell her how terrific it looked. In fact, she was almost begging for a comment, but she didn't get it and became annoyed. Good listeners almost never miss a conversational clue. Here's another conversation. What's happening here?
I'm home from grocery shopping.
Hi. I'm watching the basketball game. Do you need any help unloading?
No, I can manage. I'll just have to make a lot of trips, I guess. What did you say you're doing?
Watching the game. Are you sure you don't need help?
I can manage if I have to.
Okay.
Jerk.
What happened here? The wife said she didn't need help, but if the husband would have been listening to the sound of her voice and not just her words, he would have heard her asking for help. Of course, he may have gotten her real message, but decided to ignore it anyway, and that's a subject for a different course completely. Have you ever asked someone what was wrong, and the answer was a sullen nothing? But he read the body language, the tone of voice, the pained facial expression, and you persisted until you uncovered the problem. Tune in to the whole person for conversational clues. Listening carefully is very useful and very rewarding. If you're good at it, it tells people you're a thinker, a good conversationalist, and a cultivated person. If you're not particularly good at listening, the person who's speaking may think you don't care about him or her and thinks that he or she isn't really appreciated. The person who is speaking needs to be acknowledged, needs a confirmation that his or her message got through to you. That's true with a family member, a business colleague, a client, a stranger, anyone we come in contact with. You've got to learn to overcome the roadblocks that get in the way of listening. The first roadblock to good listening is a natural one. It's having more time mentally than you need. And that can lead to daydreaming,